comes from the psalmist, Psalm 23, a pretty familiar one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. And then our New Testament lesson from the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for the word that you brought to us. We ask that it would guide us and lead us so that we might live out our servant call in this world, so that we might be your children, leading all those to the light of Christ. Be with us, Lord, as we seek to listen to what you're saying, as we seek to be changed through your word. Guide us and keep us, O Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, one of the huge difficulties is what we try and do with Acts 2. I remember in seminary the sheer number of churches that my colleagues were all interning at who would come back and say, well, you know, we're trying to work out and live out the Acts 2 vision of the church. And you'd pause and then you'd say, and what does that mean? Well, and that's where it always stopped, because there wasn't really any real thought going in. The thought was that the church, if it did exactly as the Acts 2 church did, down to its last detail, copying everything, that somehow that last part of verse 47, where it says, and God added every day to their number, those who were being saved, would happen. And the problem with this, the problem with creating a carbon copy is, well, multifold. The first is that it neglects where the Spirit's blowing us now, where it's taking us in this moment. Because to think that the Spirit is blowing that church the same way as us ignores the fact that the Spirit is in this moment and leading us towards the next moment. The second is that no church at any point is the same as another. If you were to break down our church into demographics and where people are, and then look at, say, Old Dutch, and look at Marbletown Reformed, and look at High Falls Reformed, we are all made up differently. We are all built just a little bit differently. And so the way the Spirit is moving each of our churches is going to be a little bit different. So to try a cookie cutter approach really really disengages the Spirit from all acts of your church. Because you're trying to say the Spirit will be exactly how it used to be. And how does the Holy Spirit work? Does it tell you what to do, how to do it, and when to do it? Or do you tell the Spirit how to do it? Because if you're telling God how to be, my office is open starting at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, and we'll have a good conversation starting with that. The challenge is that we are all very different, different makeups, different stories that make up our congregations. That's one of those things I've learned as I've served this congregation, is how different these 225 years have been for this church. And it is a beautiful story. It is a wonderful story, but it's not the same story as the next church down the road. It's its own story. And so we've got to let God move the moment. Let God do the thing. Now, I'll say this. I understand where this model of copycat comes from. It comes from outside the church. When we see one business succeed, what happens next? An almost exact copy of that business pops up right next to it and sells the exact same product, just a little different. You ever seen a Texas Roadhouse across the street from a Logan's Roadhouse? It's literally the same restaurant, just a little few differences. But they both started the same time. But the thing is, we are not a business. We are a church. We are a body of believers. Our primary focus is on worship of our God. And as we look at this early church, let's look at what was going on, what was happening. And then let's look at the Spirit that was moving in those moments. The people were devoted to the teachings of the disciples, the fellowship and breaking of bread together, praying together, all of these wonderful things that the church was built on. They were together. They shared what they had with one another. If someone in their group was in need, people who could would sell what they had, some of the things that they had, to look after those who were in need. They cared for the least of these to the greatest. They were generous towards one another and had the goodwill of their greater community. But again, we too often don't focus on the meat and potatoes in the mill. We focus on the end result of they grew. Now, if we drill down on what this church, this first church, had that really we want to grasp hold of, there are a few things we can look at and say, we like this. They fellowshipped together. And I realize saying that a congregation, a church, fellowshipped together should be a matter of fact. I mean, what do we call overall what we do after worship? We have fellowship time, we have coffee hour, we go into fellowship hall. We spend time hearing about each other's weeks. We spend time in community together. We focus on one another during that time. Sure, we love the goodies. Don't we, Dakota? Or is she down in class? Fair. See? We love the goodies. But you know what? The goodies are just the avenue by which we break bread together. We show reverence to God, just like they did. We care about what's going on with one another, and we are a joyful, worshiping body, just like they are. But there's one huge thing that happened and needs to happen as well. It is the deliberate acts of of building community that happened. Now, when we think about this, nobody ever goes up in front of a group, and if you've ever heard of somebody doing this, please tell me this story. I need to hear it. Nobody stands up in front of a group and says to the group, "You're going to be a community. Whether you like it or not, you're going to be a community together." Because that's how we build communities, right? Just somebody dictates and we all, no. Because I could stand up here and tell all of you, you're going to be a community together, whether you like it or not, till I'm blue in the face. And you know what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. Because you can command it all you want. You need to build community. You need to work at it. It takes effort to make community happen. The other day, Barb came in with a flower pot, and she had planted the flower just a few days before, and she was really upset. "Mom, Dad, it's not growing." "Barb, did you water it?" "No." "Did you maybe sing a song to it and talk to it, like you can do with plants?" "No." "What are you doing to nurture and nourish this plant, Barb? What are you doing to help it to grow?" Because that's what community does. Community needs to be nourished. It needs to be treated delicately. It needs to be built up. It needs to be developed. It needs time and effort put into it. And when we look at the Acts 2 church, it didn't just pop out of nowhere. There was one man who had been doing years' worth of groundwork, years' worth of effort, building up leadership for this community, building up leaders, gathering in believers and followers. When we look at the Acts 2 church, there is one person that did a lot of work before that day, that led to that day. See, when we look at Acts 2, we look at the church in that moment, but we forget about all the work that Jesus did to build it to that point. Think about it. All those times that the disciples were leaders, were forced into leadership, were stuck out there in the midst. Jesus sends them out two by two to learn, to teach, to do signs. They come back and they report. And then he teaches more. He builds them up more. Do you think Peter would have had the gall to stand up and deliver that sermon when we first met him? Not a chance. Peter needs to grow into who he is. And who helped Peter to grow? Jesus did. When we look at this church, when we look at the church that it began, we forget how much just backbreaking hours Jesus put in, sitting with the disciples, teaching them, pulling them along. The number of face palms he obviously had sometimes when they'd ask questions. Guys, you're not listening to me. Let's get back to the beginning and we'll go again. Jesus put in so many hours over the years to get the church where it was going to be. When we look at community in our own community of believers, the fact of the matter is that it takes work. It takes work for us to build up this community of believers, to maintain it, to nurture it, to nourish it. It takes a willingness to hurt to be a community. And I say that without any measure of irony, because when you see us gather together for a funeral, when you see how the community gathers together around someone who's grieving, when you see the community gather together over somebody who's celebrating, it is the most beautiful thing. And it is 100% because of God. Because we give each other our hearts for each other's joys, for each other's sadness, for each other's celebrations. We care about everyone in here. We care about the person in the pew next to us. We care about the person in the pew behind us. And that's what community means in the church. It means that, yes, we are gathered together to worship God. But because we are gathered together to worship God, we are gathered together and willing to hurt because God has called us to be together. When we break bread together around the communion table, we also break bread in coffee hour together. We share together. Community is one of the most beautiful pieces of the church, but it's also one of the most difficult to maintain. Because we don't like to hurt. We don't like to see one another in pain. We don't like to see the person we've sat next to for the last 20 years lose someone they care about. We don't like bad things to happen to people we care about. And so we have two choices. We can ignore the fact that we are to be community together. We are to commune together as the church. And yeah, we won't hurt. Yeah, we won't have pain. Yeah, we won't celebrate together. But our hearts will be intact. And we won't hurt. But that's not what God wants. What God wants is for your pain to be my pain. For your hurt to be my hurt. For your joy to be my joy. For all of us to be one body together. As we look out at the disciples beginning that first church, they really gave us a great model of caring, of community, of living out what Christ had set up. The fact of the matter is, can we recreate the Acts 2 church? No. But what we can do is take the examples, take the methodologies, be God's church at Hurley Reform, and be the best, the most community-based, the community that cares together. We can live out what God calls us to be, what God calls us to do. But it's going to take effort. It's going to take us continuing that connective tissue of caring for one another, caring about one another, a willingness to embrace one another. And that's getting harder to do as we look across the political spectrum and how just amped up it is. How do we be in community together when we are so pulled apart by the rest of the world? By the rest of our view. Well, more work, more cultivating of community, more focus on one another. That's how we do it. By living out more and more what God has called us to do and to be. By living the command to love one another. Are you ready for the journey? Are you ready for how hard it's going to be? I wish I could say it's going to be easy. But it's going to be hard. It's hard to see people you love hurt. But it's wonderful to see people you love celebrate and be joyful. Amen. Brothers and sisters, let us respond to God from the gifts He has given.